fierce of spirit, you marauders of youth. Get your hands in the air. I want to see your hands in the air. If you're selling these lies,
that's not my bumper
music. Dreams, you can keep on washing, but you'll never get clean. Get your hands.
Is this Ken or is this Marcus? Well, Ken, I sent you a message. I'm standing here ready. No one responds. I don't know when you're ready for me to go on. Somebody has to be in touch with me and give me cues. Like, you know, I don't know what music. If it's not my music, I don't know if you're in the industry or not. Somebody can. Hello, this is Peter McCandless of the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is May 7th, 2007. My special guest with me today is Mr. Alan Schaefer. He is the president of an organization called the Alliance for the Separation of School and State, and their website is www.schoolandstate.org. And Alan, if you're there, I'm pleased to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Why don't you just tell us, if you would, when you took over the reins, so to speak, for the Alliance for the Separation of School and State? I know Marshall Fritz was the founder, and I was present at the first two national conferences by that back in 95 and 96. That was sort of my introduction to it. Of course, I've been a member ever since, so maybe you can sort of tell us when you took over and what your background is and interest in it.
Sure. I was also present at the first and the third conference, and then the 2004 conference. I saw an advertisement someplace in a small publication, homeschooling publication, that mentioned Alliance for the Separation of School and State, and knew intuitively that I had to understand this more thoroughly, because I knew that it was getting at the core of the problem. Lo and behold, 10 years later, I ended up talking to Marshall about helping him out, and in the process, was asked to become the president. That occurred about midsummer last summer. Since then, I've been rethinking some things, changing some ways that we're presenting ourselves. So I'm sure we can talk more about that.
Sure. Well, as I said to the folks, the website is www.schoolandstate.org, which is a little more succinct than the previous one, I guess, but the full name is, correct me if I'm wrong, Alliance for the Separation of School and State. I'm sorry?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, we're due for our first break here, Alan, so bear with us, folks. We'll be right back with Alan Schaefer and the Alliance for the Separation of School and State in just a second.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. by doing nothing more than you're doing right now because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back to the Peter Matt Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is May 7th, 2007. My special guest on the phone with me is Alan Schaefer, president of the Alliance for the Separation of School and State. And Alan, maybe it would be appropriate just to start off with the mission of the Alliance for the Separation of School and State.
The mission of the Alliance is, I'm going to say, is twofold. Certainly, it has been to educate people about the necessity, the history and purpose for why we should not have the government operating the schools, that they're the wrong organization to do it. A more immediate mission is to help empower parents and those who support them to help remove kids or keep them out of government school, and to build a stronger understanding of why that's so necessary. Essentially, we're building the vocation of family and parenthood into something that stands on its own rather than being part of the dependency structure that the government has so handily crafted us and, you know, backed us into.
Right. And I can imagine that the difficulty of trying to do the first part of the mission state, educate Americans about the necessity of not having the government run the schools, because we've been ensconced, entrenched in this thing for some 150 years now. I think, if my history is right, somewhere around the mid-1800s, around 1850, public education, government education, as it's more properly called, really got underway. And so it's just a part of the fabric of American life almost to think about sending your kids to a public school for the great majority of people, maybe 90% of kids. So how do we begin, and I say we because I'm a part of this too, how do we begin to educate people about the fact that the government isn't the proper organization to run, and just how really at odds that is with the foundation of this country, the notion that we're individual citizens, we're free, we actions between Americans should be voluntary, and of course, government public education is really antithetical to that.
It starts, I think, really with where people are right now. It's very difficult, and this is one of the ways in which I'm trying to put a new presence on what we're doing. It's very difficult to come in and lay the whole trip on somebody. What right. people have to understand is that it's very easy to look out there and see the tremendous amount of energy and emotion and passion and media and philanthropy dollars and political time and political capital that is expended on reform. Everybody knows there's a problem.
Sure.
Everybody knows there's something wrong with the system. What people don't understand is why it's so wrong and why reform can never occur to a system with the trajectory that the government school has. And there's a reason for that. Really simple. The purpose of the existence of government school is not fully understood. the purpose for which it was created is actually being fulfilled fabulously well. So there's no reform that will make it better. It's already doing what it's supposed to do.
And that
when you get people to see that flip-flop, then you have the awakening, the eye-opening.
And exactly what is the purpose of government or public schooling?
You know, there are better words than mine on this, and I think I should pull up a real brief passage from a hero of mine, Don Taylor Gatto, who puts it very succinctly. The purpose of he quotes H.L. Mencken. Let's start with him. The aim of public education is not to fill the young of the species with knowledge and awaken their intelligence. Nothing could be further from the truth. The aim is simply to reduce as many individuals as possible to the same safe level to breed and train a standardized citizenry, to put down dissent and originality. That is its aim in the United States, and it is its aim everywhere else. That was written in 1924 by H.L. Mencken. Gatto goes on to basically say that it's an import of the Prussian system, whose purpose was to deliberately design to produce mediocre intellects, to hamstring the inner life, to deny students appreciable leadership skills, and to ensure docile and controllable citizens, all in order to render the populace manageable. Essentially, it's a control structure.
Right. Now, I suspect that many people who get into public education, many young, you know, teachers just graduating from teacher education programs across the country and so forth, don't realize at all, Alan. I think many of them have probably very high ideals, and they want to teach their students to think independently, to grow up, to develop their talents, their individual talents, to be able to express them as they see fit, to interact in a voluntary society, and not simply to be factory-produced, if you will, good citizens who don't object or dissent against the government. So if that's true, if my hypothesis is true, how is the public education system so successful at doing what it's doing?
First of all, teachers are the most wonderful people in the world and the whole. They have good hearts and they desire to do the right thing, and they have placed themselves in a position that unfortunately is equally victimized, equally hamstrung to their charges. And that is by simple virtue of the fact that this is a system whose primary fundamental message, beyond everything else that it does, is not reading, writing, and arithmetic. It is not an educated and participatory citizenry. It is not the maintenance of culture. It is fundamentally a message that the system needs your compliance. And unfortunately, teachers are just as much trapped in the overbearing size of the system as every student. They have no more ability, and it's really simple. They have not put themselves at the top of the top-down system. They have put themselves as practitioners at the bottom, as the people who want to do the good, and that's right. Where their hearts are from. But their ability to actually do something that causes the system to rise above is severely hampered by the existence of the system, and you cannot win in that formula. Right. A few teachers do a few fabulous things for students at intervals in their lives, and a few are saved, indeed, and there are fabulous teachers out there. They're all fighting a losing battle if they understand what the purpose of the system is and that no one is above it. Everyone is under it.
Right. And I think there's probably no better example than that of John Taylor Gatto and his work as a teacher in the New York public school system and what he encountered and how he tried to get around it and so forth. And, of course, he's come out, and as you quoted from him, he's one of those who became aware of the power of the system and that he was caught in it, and that ultimately, I this may be too strong a word, but ultimately even his efforts within the system were futile.
He, when he left, he said, "I can no longer do harm to children."
Yeah.
This was the man who got the highest accolades repeatedly in the state and city of New York for his fabulous work with the students. He said, I can no longer harm children. So he left. It's just amazing when you think about it. You have to also understand the way he achieved those results was to understand the system, help the students to understand the system themselves, study the beast that had swallowed them so that they could be able to survive in that environment and discover who they were as individuals and who they were as a part of a cog in a wheel, a part of a system. He had to do that in order to have that success. He had to actually do the opposite of what the system is designed for.
Right.
Deliberately. And ultimately found out doing that, you fail.
Right. Do you have any sense, Alan, of how many other teachers are coming to this realization at some level in their consciousness and experiencing frustration? Perhaps maybe they don't fully grasp it at some level, and they're trying as well as they can to produce students who are trying to maximize their potential and not simply be little robots produced by the system, and yet are caught in it, can't fully grasp it, and are reaching out in some way or another, probably in many ways asking for reform, not fully realizing that reform is not possible because, as you said, the system is already achieving what it's designed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me give you several categories to think about. One is we have a group of teachers that have signed our proclamation for the separation of school and state, and we basically call that group Sakharovs, school Sakharovs. That's after the pattern of Andrei Sakharov, who was the darling of the Soviet Union in many ways, and one day just came out and repudiated the whole thing en masse.
Right.
Because he was in on the inside. So we call these teachers who are on the inside, who are in the trenches, who are experiencing all this, who figure it out, we call them school Sakharovs. So there's a group of them. There's another whole group of people, and this is just fabulous what's going on right now, because among the things that are changed, that are making people receptive to our movement are the actions of the government itself. No Child Left Behind is a great example. In No Child Left Behind, what we have succeeded to do by this impossible, completely unrealistic political power maneuver is we have succeeded to make the life of a teacher miserable. We've succeeded to make their job nearly impossible if it wasn't already. And many, many teachers realize this. They realize that the government is the wrong person to tell them what to do in a classroom.
Right.
This is causing them to be receptive to the possibility that there's a greater explanation beyond reform, which textbook, who's in their administration, why does the government have to tell us what to do. They can tell us how much money we can make, but they can't tell us what to do. People are figuring out there's inconsistencies in this whole formula are beginning to be receptive to our message. It's up to us to get the message to them in a gentle and kind and incremental way. But that's right. The message. They can't win against that system.
Right. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back with Alan Schaefer in just a couple minutes.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. My special guest on the line with me today is Alan Schaefer, president of the Alliance for the Separation of School and State. Let me just remind people that much of the information that is brought to you on this website and through this network is not available, of course, through the mainstream media, and we do depend to some degree on your contributions, and we would appreciate it if you could make a contribution to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and you can make a check to CSIN and send it to the following address. And that address is 1015 South Mays, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, if you could make a contribution to CSIN, that will support the network. The address is 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can also call the office here at 800-724-2719. The website for the Alliance of Separation School and State is schoolandstate.org, and of course we would like you to visit the website. There's a wealth of information there to learn about the mission of the statement, as Alan and I are discussing now. Alan, you were talking about school Sakharovs and a growing number of teachers who are understanding just that the nature of the system that they're caught into and the futility of trying to really work within that, yet they're doing the best they can. What are some things that people can do that maybe aren't teachers or on in the outside, maybe don't have children in the school system, to make people aware of this, the fact that the system as run by the federal government simply cannot achieve what we think is consistent with educating American citizens?
I think the system is only so strong as the population that frequents it. The goal is to remove children from the system, right, by hook or by crook. Now, right, I've thought about a lot about this, and I think that we run ourselves into difficulties when we try to remove children for reasons that are anything less than the truth about what's going on. What happens is if you create, let's just look at supply and demand for a moment. I think that the free market system is a fabulous thing, and we need to use it, leverage it for our benefit, but it's going to be a slow conversion, right, because we've become accustomed to being handed things as benefits, sure, as freebies. In the free market system, the supply and demand formulation is a very, very critical part of the analysis of why it works. In the school wars, I have become convinced that supplying a cheaper school is only a partial solution, because the government will always produce a model that's freer than your cheap, because it has unlimited power to tax and spend.
Sure.
So what do we do? In the homeschool environment, the way that this is working its way out is that there are virtual schools, e-schools, home study programs popping up all over the place. And the way that they work is you as a homeschooler might be offered the opportunity to receive a free computer, free textbooks, free tutoring, free accreditation if you sign up with the e-school. All you got to do is just make sure you don't bring in your Bible study with it. And, you know, this sounds great at first. It's not a school like in the corner with all the peer problems and the kid getting beat up. It's not a situation where there's discipline problems in the classroom. It sounds like it's an ideal solution. Is it? Well, I don't think so. I think really what happens is this is an example of, back to ancient Rome, bread and circuses. This is the government giving us a handout that will always make the ability to compete in a free market hamstrung. It's a function of their ability to tax and spend. What we need instead is we need to work on the demand side, not the supply side. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't make new schools and new models, but I'm saying that what we need most for the possibility of a public outcry, for the possibility of a large-scale questioning, for the media to get a hold of it, for it to become part of public, presidential debates, and for everybody to be talking about it in the grocery store when they see a bunch of kids come in behind and tow from mom. What has to happen for that is enough people need to be willing to walk away from the system, walk away from the benefit, and recognize why they must walk away from every version that the free money will possibly create, because it's intrinsically evil. And those people will be the foundation on which we will create a movement. Those people will do things that will set them up as a light to the rest of the world. They'll be an example. People will ask them questions. People want to know what's different, what's going on, how do you do this, why are you doing this? And they will have an answer for it if they know what the answer is. Our job, I think, is to take our unique understanding of why we got in this mess in the first place, what is the history and purpose of the government school, and give that as a gift of freedom to as many people as we can. And if you walk around knowing what the reason is, and somebody says, why are you homeschooling your kids? What's the difference? How come you have chosen a different path? You'll have an answer, even if it's just go to www.schoolandstate.org and sign up. You'll be glad you did.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's all you have for an answer. So the job, I think, is to get the word out. Another job is to support people who choose independence. Independence is going to be costly compared to free. We need grandparents and parents, philanthropists, etc., to help support those who've chosen to get out and to suggest to those who haven't that it may be possible with a little help.
Right. Exactly. Well, we could talk probably for the whole rest of the period just on, failings of the public school and so forth in terms of actually educating kids. Well, due for another break here. Stay with us, folks. Alan Schaefer, president of the Alliance for the School and Separation of School and State, is with me. We'll be back in a second. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Schaefer's on the line with me, president of the Alliance for the Separation of School and State. Alan, I was starting to say just before the break that we could talk probably for the rest of the period about failings of the public school in the sense of actually educating Americans, and there are whole books written on that sort of thing. But I wanted to just briefly discuss my experience as a college professor for 11 years at Park University, where I teach. And there's ample evidence, I think, of the kind of compliance which you speak of, which is so inculcated in students when they come through the system, because I have to tell students, for example, will come in and they'll miss class sometime because they have a doctor's appointment, and they'll tell me, well, I have a doctor's slip. Do you need it? And I say, well, not really. You know, if you miss class, you're missing what I'm trying to provide for you. We're here to provide a service for you. But they are so used to having, obviously the majority have gone through the public school system, they're so used to pleasing the system. What do I need to do? How do I satisfy the system? That when you tell them after 12 years of that, you tell them, look, I'm here providing a service for you. You're paying money for this. You know, if you miss, then you missed whatever was discussed that day or so forth. And they just look at me with this sort of blank stare, and I think some of them begin to get it a little bit because, of course, they're more mature than kids in the K through 12. But to me, that is sort of anecdotal testimony to how successful the system is at producing compliance.
Yes. I attended a session on homeschooling years and years ago. It was wonderful. The man had been homeschooling for quite a long time and had some great advice. And he started this session by saying, how many of you are having difficulties in your homeschooling? And a bunch of hands shot up. He said, who taught you to raise your hand?
Yeah.
We're conditioned. We've been taught to think this way. We've been taught to accept the terms that we are being handed. And you see this every day in your college classroom. You can have predictable behavior from the people that are coming in that room. This proves my early statements about managing. Predictable behavior. And even it encompasses the predictable behavior of children becoming dependent adults, actually never leaving childhood, but always being dependent, always needing something else that the market and the government can provide.
Right. And I know that among graduates of our university, the president will often give a statement summarizing statistics about our success in various areas. And I forget the exact number, Alan, but she talked about the number of Park University graduates that go to work for the government. And I was just appalled. I thought, and that's a measure of success? You know, why aren't they out being entrepreneurs? Why aren't they doing something where they're contributing to society in a way which doesn't depend upon somebody else's tax dollars, which, of course, any government job does? And, you know, I don't see the number of people that have gone to work in the government as a measure of the success of your education, whether it's K through 12 or a university experience. But obviously, the president of our college sees it that way, and that was somewhat appalling to me. On the other side, Alan, it's interesting. They have no – so many students – not all, obviously, but I have students that come late and disrupt the class, and I've had to stop and say to them, look, you need to have movie theater etiquette. If you're late to a movie – you go in quietly. You walk in front of as few people as possible. You don't sit down and then get up and get your popcorn 5 minutes later, you know. And students will say, well, I paid for the class. Yes, you paid for the class, but it doesn't give you the right to disrupt other people. So on the one hand, they feel like they have to be compliant in terms of like where they sit every day and raising their hand and that sort of thing. On the other hand, they've lost, in some sense, basic manners about, you know, not disrupting other people who are trying to get an education. And it's just an odd set of behaviors to have to deal with.
This is the lens we need to give people to see through. You see that as inconsistent, but do you see how it is not inconsistent in the least in a system that's designed to create human beings that need the system? It is a perfect setup for a managed state. You know, if you don't shape up, we're gonna manage you. We're right. going to label you, and we're going to track you in such a way that that you become part of our dependency structure, even if that means jail.
Right.
It goes that far. So you're seeing something that is unintelligible unless you understand how this system was created, and that, in a sense, it's actually gone too far. I don't think that the people who let's take Horace Mann. He said, we will teach in common what we believe in common, and by that he intended to remove social conflict from our social interaction. He fully expected that we would empty the jails within his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Empty them. We've done just the opposite. We have multiplied the number of social deviants and criminals in our midst since the day he started this whole institution. He never intended that. So in many ways, it's gone beyond their vision. But in many ways, it is simply the consequences of a bad idea. Certainly, there are some that are culpable and very, very desperate and diabolical ways, but the vast majority simply are following along with what they have been taught in a system that has, as its fruits, can have nothing other than bad fruits, bad consequences.
Right. Sad. Well, Alan, we have a first caller, Jeff from Vermont. Jeff, you're on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go ahead if you're there.
Yeah. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Beautiful.
Very well.
Day. I was just concerned about I totally agree with you guys wholeheartedly in your conversation, and I'm on the same page as you are. The thing is with the NEA and up here, we're just labeled the highest tax state in the country, and if you're against property taxes, because we pay for our schools up here with property taxes is the fundamental means we use to fund our schools. And our property taxes are just incredibly high up there. You wouldn't even want to know how much I pay for property taxes. But if you're against property taxes, you're against education. And if you want your property tax lower, they use the stigma of you're against education. And my kids don't even go to public schools. They go to a private school, and we're very good at teaching our children how to behave, and you know, probably not the norm in that aspect, but. The thing is, though, it's the funding process and the way that everybody's being brainwashed in this state and in our community, and I guess it's across the country, in believing that the solution to education is money, more money to solve it, to make up more solutions to their infinite problems that they have, and it's people are buying it. You know, I mean, it's like a closed-minded society, and nobody wants to deal with anything, and they just want people to pay for it so they don't have to think about it. I don't know if you guys can understand that way of logic, but, I mean, that's the way it's up here, and it's ridiculous.
I can make a couple of comments. First of all, what part of Vermont are you from?
I am from the Montpelier area, like right by the state capitol.
Are you familiar with an organization called property owners stand together?
Yeah, I know Ken Davis, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I spoke to them several weeks ago at a meeting up there and addressed much of this. What you're experiencing, yes, and I'll be back again, so keep your ear flaps open because I will be hopefully speaking at University of Vermont and also at the Property Owners Stand Together, and they're going to combine with the other taxpayer property owner group with John Simons there as well. But a few comments. First of all, you have to understand that this is systemic. The answer to the whole thing is that it's systemic. And the answer to that, the antidote to that, is that you are not. I'll elaborate on that in a second. But I want to tell you how systemic it is. There's a beautiful story. Actually, it's a tragic story written by John Taylor Gatto, we've mentioned before, called The Logical Tragedy of Benson, Vermont. Benson, Vermont is a tiny town with a tiny little main street, with a tiny little general store, and almost nothing else. And they ended up losing their one-room schoolhouse and being forced to accept a new school building with teachers and almost as many administrators, and it broke their backs, tax-wise, broke their backs. They went through, believe it or not, 13 school budgets they voted down. 13 school budgets they voted down. And yet, in the end, the government stepped in and forced it on them. You see how it's impossible to fight the system? There's no way to actually systemically change the system. There's no reform of the system. The best answer we have for the system is to maintain our sense of ourselves. I'm going to quote Gatto again. He says, children need to understand that the ultimate form of private property is full possession of one's own mind and volition. This is something that throws a monkey wrench in the gears of the system, and we need to foster that by separating ourselves from the expectations and the mechanisms by which we become dependent. And there's a reason for this. We've all heard the founding fathers talk about, that the cost of liberty is its defense and eternal vigilance, etc. Mm-hmm. What's behind all those quotes? There's numerous, dozens, hundreds of quotes like that. What's behind all those? It's really simple. Government is an institution of power. It is given to its own self-perpetuation. You, on the other hand, are not. And you need to maintain independence in order to keep the government in check. There is no institutional check on government, no balancing branch, no new political strategy, no new power shift, no new philanthropy given to the right candidate that's going to decrease power.
The people.
The decrease of power is in the hands of you and me as individuals. And that's precisely what's trying to be undone by the system. It's trying to make us system people. I stood there at a tag sale one day watching one of my neighbors talk about this. He'd just gotten out of a government contract job with a large manufacturer down here called Electric Boat that makes submarines. And he put it right on the table. He said, put me in the system. Put me in the system. I want them bennies. Yeah, set me up. I want to retire at 45. He had the whole thing figured out, and that's the end point that forces us to conform. The one that the system cannot stand is you having full possession of your own mind and volition, resisting the handout, doing your own thing, and insisting on it. That's what they can't stand, and that's what we need to create, is people who will do that on principle, not because they get a better deal.
Right.
But people don't realize that, you know, these taxes that they're imposed upon the people are enforced at the barrel of a gun. You know, they will come and take your property. People are, the government's all nice. They're not nice.
Let me prioritize this. And this also happened at the Post meeting. If there's anybody else from Vermont that is familiar with this, you'll understand what I'm talking about. There is in legislation right now a move to regionalize, and pretty soon the Commissioner of Education will have power that will remove your ability to have an influence on your local school situation by your local vote. Not that that was very powerful in the first place, but that's the direction it's going.
Yeah,
there is in the writing of the legislation a phrase that says, Vermont spends X dollars on its children. Wow, that's a startling statement. Its children? The children aren't Vermont's children. They're our children.
Yeah.
It's backwards. Okay, but here, that is intuitive to somebody in your position, who understands the tax situation, who understands how wrong it is, but I'm going to flip it on its end and see if this checks in your heart and you understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much as they are not their children, the children do not belong to the state, the schools are not our schools. We don't have any choice at the barrel of the gun of whether or not those dollars go to Montpelier. But we have a choice of where our children will go. Almost everyone has a choice. We need to exercise that choice, and we need to educate people about the need to exercise that choice. Does that make sense?
That's very well said. That is great. I need to do my research and study on that because I need to get that embellished in my head. And that's definitely a great way to explain something. I really appreciate it.
Let me add, if I may. Go ahead. Let me just add something, Ellen, if I could, and comment on this if you want. When people approach Jeff and say, well, if you're against property taxes, you're against education. Jeff, you can say, no, I'm not against education. I'm against government schooling, and those are very different things.
Yes,
that's what I do say. I call it the public fool system, and
exactly.
Well, my kids go to a Catholic school, which is you know, it's a lot better. At least they have, you know, some. Hi, Marshall. have some Christ in their life, and you know, and different choices and everything. But you know, me and my wife don't have time, and you know, we're willing to spend the extra money to get him out of the system because I don't believe in the system. I don't want to support the system, you know, and you know, but we still have to survive in the system, and we have to give and take, and it's hard. It's really hard to
sure is.
To have your frame of mind of how you want to live your life, and you know. And have a little normalcy because I'm a little bit more, you know, different in my beliefs than my wife is, and we have to have a compromise, and you know, it's hard, but you know, we don't vaccinate our children, you know, and you know, stuff like that. We have an agreement on in certain aspects of, you know, bringing up children in this world, but and she's definitely come on the side that she's seen that the government's not what it's all out or it portrays itself to be. You know, she realizes it's a corporation and it's there to make money, and it's legalized extortion, the taxes that they impose on the people, and you don't have a choice but to pay them, you know? So, I mean, but you know, that simple concept, it takes a lot of understanding for people to realize that, you know? It's just, you would be surprised how much people just don't get that concept.
They've been taught not to. We've all been taught to go along to get along.
Right.
We have no idea why we are in this mess. And until we have some idea, I believe you won't have people with principle enough to take the actions that we're suggesting.
And you know, and I tell my friends, I'm not, I'm not a violent person, but I'm not a scared to die for what I believe in. You know, there's no way that anybody, the state or anything, will ever take my children without me putting my life down. And, you know, there's no way. And that's my attitude towards anything. I'm not a violent person. But that's my level of the bar that I set. You know, I set it that high because that's where I want to be of my belief system and what I truly and my core values of my life. And you know, and that's the way everybody should be. Everybody's so passive and take the path of least resistance. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I'm in the middle of trying to change things around so that we create tools that help you in that effort.
Yes.
To not only stand your ground, but to help others consider following your lead and seeing the sense in what we're suggesting. And I hope to have, so stay tuned if you would. I hope to have tools that will help you in that effort.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yep.
You know, there's so many quotes, as you mentioned, Alan, that we could mention from our founding fathers and other people that are relevant to this discussion. And one comes to mind here as I was listening to Jeff. That I never learned in public school. I went through, you know, K through 12 in a public school. George Washington said, government is not power. Government is not eloquence. Government is not power. Government is not beauty. Government is force. And nobody's ever taught that, I don't think, in K through 12. I'd like that to be in every classroom, just so people understand the nature of government. They can decide on what level of government they want and so forth, but that is the nature of government. And we're not taught that. And I think that parallels what you're talking about, the government school system. We're not taught what the essence of it is, which is forced compliance. And people don't get it. They think it's this benevolent thing bestowed upon us.
Yes.
Well, folks, stay with us. Sorry, Alan, hold those thoughts. We'll be back here at the Peter Mac Show in just a minute. Hang on.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Republic Broadcasting Network here. My special guest on the line with me is Alan Schaefer, president of the Alliance for the Separation of School and State. And if you want to email me at any time, you can do so at peter@petermacshow.com. Again, peter@petermacshow.com. Alan, I'm not sure you were able to finish all your comments on Jeff, the caller from Vermont.
No, I think I pretty much wrapped it up. Okay. I'll sum it up by saying that, if the school is the wrong institution, the question is, who's the right institution? It's you and me.
Right.
And I think that's the message that the Alliance is trying to get across, to strengthen and reinforce families and people who are in a position of responsibility over children, true responsibility, rather than handing that responsibility off to someone to whom it does not belong.
Exactly. And there's so much evidence of that you can point out to people that don't get it, just, you know, small cracks in the wall of public education, if you will, when schools, for example, make decisions about whether to, in school, for example, if there's bad weather in this part of the country where it's probably not as bad as in your part of the country, occasionally a severe snowfall will necessitate that they, you know, cut the school day short or so forth. And I know that school administrators often make that decision based upon whether the parents can get the kids and so forth. And so clearly the institution of schooling has not become one of providing an education to kids as much as it is sort of a daycare service. It's an increasing that. And I think, you know, the likes of Hillary Clinton and others of her political ideology want to have school become even more encompassing of the child and provide counseling and nutrition and all kinds of other services, quote unquote, through, of course, government expenditures. So the child is really a part of the system, you know, almost from cradle to grave. They're dependent on the system, and then they're, of course, you know, subsidize and support the system through the compliance that they're taught, even more so as more and more of their life gets to be a part of the school. And so I hope that one aspect of what you're trying to do is to teach people about the insidious aspects of an ideology like promoted by people on the far left.
Yes. And I hate to even mention this because I think we have to really penetrate and look at the truth of what's going on here, and it includes people who we wouldn't classically associate with the far left, and I'm even hesitant to bring it up, but let me develop an idea here very briefly. I think the seduction of having the lever of control in your hand is so powerful for people in a position to actually make a bid for it, that it makes people do some very strange things. Let me cite one example that comes to mind as you're mentioning this. That is, did you know that Bill Gates and his sidekick, who are now funding $70 million to seed the question of education among the political debates of the presidential candidacy, they have three agenda items. I won't go through them. But I want to mention that the very top agenda item that they put on their agenda is longer school days and longer school years.
Mm-hmm.
The seduction, even of entrepreneurs and of big business, mm-hmm. is to grab the stick of power and to use it for your own aims.
Sure.
And it's a seduction we need to resist.
Absolutely. Folks, stay with us. We're at the top of the hour here. You're listening to Peter Mac Show. My special guest, Alan Schaefer, will be back here in a couple minutes.